Hey everyone, welcome back to the Meal Mentor Podcast. This is season 2, episode 10. I'm Lindsay, your host from getmealplans.com, and I'm really excited to have my friend Patricia on today. She owns a food company, and she's like me. She just found herself owning a business and chasing a dream that she didn't even know was going to be her dream. And I just find that so inspiring. And so I really want to talk to her, not only about her journey to health, but her journey to owning a business and changing her life and her career. Because when we change our diet, it really starts to spill over into all different parts of our life. And I hear that all the time from members in the forums and in the group and just in general at conferences. People say, well, you know, I did this to lose weight or to get healthy or to get off my meds, but then this, and this happened. And Patricia's story is just such a great testament to that. And I'm glad she put some time aside today to talk to us. So welcome, Patricia.
Thank you so much. It's really an honor to be featured on here. And I just wanted to take a minute and formally thank you. I don't know if you realize what a big part you had in my journey. So aww. I kind of consider you my little veggie mentor.
Thank you so much to me. Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
And actually, what's funny is Patricia and I met several years ago, and and a lot of people know this, is you saved me. So we'll talk about your product, but it's food, and we all know I love food, but I actually lived off of it when I was traveling through some rural parts of Mexico with my sister, which I'm sure you're going to get a kick out of. But first, before we get into that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of your journey to becoming plant-based?
Sure. So I started cutting out red meat just because I just didn't like the idea of it. My family wasn't a big meat-eating family to begin with, but just in my being, I just felt like I wasn't meant to eat red meat. So I cut out and I was just eating like turkey and chicken and, you know, a little bit of fish here and there. And then I just kind of started reading more and researching it. And I just felt like it wasn't in my soul to kind of eat meat. And my mom always laughs about it because we sat down for Thanksgiving dinner one year, a million years ago, and she, you know, puts a turkey in the middle of the table and everyone starts carving into it and taking their pieces. And I'm like, oh, you know what? No, thank you. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm not going to have any. And she just thought that was the weirdest thing. And she thought it was a phase. And it just kind of went from there. I saw this big turkey on the table and it just wasn't my idea of like food. And that was like the end of it. And from then on, I really haven't wanted or, you know, needed meat. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of grew from there. And I would always flip flop back and forth between vegan and vegetarian, but this was years ago when it was a lot harder to be vegan. And I did a lot of traveling and I lived overseas as well. And it was just really complicated and hard and almost impossible in some of the little towns that I was living in that to stay vegan. But I felt like that was my nature. Like it was just so easy for me to do on a regular basis at home. Mm-hmm. I didn't really want meat or need it, but it was hard when I was like traveling or out with other people. But it just started from a young age and, you know, just kind of grew from there. I just started reading a lot about health and animal rights and all that stuff and just took it kind of bit by bit. And it's amazing what you can learn when you actually start to read and delve into certain subjects.
And that's such a good point, is a lot of time you just need to have information to feel confident and to kind of have that empowerment, because it seems like so overwhelming. But then when you dig in, you're like, oh, okay, I can totally do this.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And it's funny because I feel that's also true about starting your own business in any capacity. I always was like, oh my gosh, how do people run their own business? How do they start their own business? How do you do that? Oh my gosh, it's so insurmountable. But I mean, but obviously people do it. And I'm sure right. You felt that way too. But then yet here we both are. So one thing I loved is a few times when you were describing your journey, which was so beautiful, as you said, it was with my nature, it just didn't feel like part of my nature. And your company's name is Nature's Candy. And so like, was that like a slip or is nature just this really strong emotional word for her?
I think it's just this, I didn't even put those two together. So I think it's just a natural kind of evolution of my company and myself.
I love it. I love that you didn't even notice. That's like so amazing.
I didn't notice. It's funny too, because people ask me all the time, oh my gosh, how do you not eat meat? And I'm like, it's actually really easy for me. And I know some listeners out there are not going to feel the same as me, but I started telling people, I was just born to be a vegetarian.
Oh, I feel again, that way too. Like fundamentally deep inside myself, I feel that way.
Yeah. It's never been a real issue. Like to give up coffee or chocolate. No, that's the struggle. I definitely wasn't born to do that, but for me, vegetarian just comes really easy.
Yeah. And I know, like you said, it's not necessarily that way for everyone. My husband really loved meat. My father really loved meat. Maybe it's a guy thing. Although I tease them and I'm like, I think it was just all the marketing from society you got your whole life that meat is manly. Because I think if you hadn't grown up here, maybe it would have been different. But I never felt right to me ever. I didn't like it as a kid. I was very fussy with my mother. And so I think, like you said, it was just like a natural inclination.
Right. So, definitely. Yeah. All right,
so let's talk about your company. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? And I would love if you could tell how you just started with your mom in a way. It was a purchase your mom gave you anyway.
Yes, absolutely. So my company is called Nature's Candies, and Nature's Candies are handcrafted gourmet dried fruit snacks. It's purely dehydrated fruit. There's no added sugars, no preservatives, there's no dyes or oils, and there's no food coloring or glazes. It's just dehydrated fruit that's dried at low temperatures and made in small batches by me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so there's kind of exciting flavors that I make. I make coconut bananas and cinnamon apples and lime bananas. And my newest product is bananas with cacao nibs on them. So it's like a healthy, chocolatey banana snack.
Yummy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned the lime and banana, because I remember when you so generously gifted me a bunch of your candies, I just like opened it and I didn't realize it was lime banana. And then I ate it and I was like, what? I never would have put these two things together ever. And it's the most delicious thing I've ever had in my life. Like, I'm obsessed with lime and banana because of you. And I would never have even, I was like, I probably wouldn't have even opened that package, but I thought it was plain, or I thought it was the coconut one. And I was like, what? Oh,
right.
Oh my God, this is so good. I remember being like, Courtney, come here right now, taste this. And she's like, I don't know, lime and banana, Lindsay. And I'm like, no, you need to know. And she's like, oh my God, it's like a margarita, but better.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Yes. I remember that. You tell me a little bit about you enjoying the lime bananas. I purposely didn't send you any mangoes because I know your obsession with mangoes.
Well, that's really kind of you. I hate you and I love you at the same time.
Right?
I hate you and I love
when
you.
When they come back in season, I'll send you a small pack just so you don't
She's
go
She's
going
to send me like one slice of the dehydrated mango. This is portion control for you, Lindsay.
I love it. That's awesome.
Actually, you know, mango and lime would probably be pretty epic.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. No, I actually will put lime juice even on fresh bananas sometimes. I'm like, Patricia changed my life, guys. She,
nice.
She's, you know, I think I was talking about this on a previous podcast where when I was growing up and I would see bags of lemons or limes at the store or even bags of whole potatoes, I'd be like, who buys a whole bag of potatoes? Who buys a whole bag of limes? I do. I'm that person. I grew up to be that person.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So your mom. She bought you a dehydrator.
Yes. She kind of prompted the whole thing because as a gift, I can't remember if it was like a birthday gift or Christmas present, but she had bought me a little countertop dehydrator. And I started just messing around with it, putting everything and anything that I could think of in there. I mean, things that you wouldn't even think could be dehydrated. I just started experimenting with it. And it turned out fruit was the best. And I just kind of went to town and like would literally pack up everything that I made and give it away as gifts. Cause I was like putting everything in there and just having too much things to eat for myself. So I would gift them away, and people were really responding to like all the dried fruits that I would make. And so I, you know, started making little packages and like giving them to my friends and family as like birthday presents or, you know, Christmas gifts. And then the response was awesome because people were saying, oh, I had to hide those from my kids in the back of the cabinet so that they didn't eat it. And so they're like, can you make me another bag or separate bags? And so it just kind of literally grew from there. I just started giving it away at first and people started asking for it. And then they wanted to give it away as gifts. But it literally all started because my mom got me this little dehydrator. Just started practicing with, and I would kind of put everything in jars or baggies and save for like when they weren't in season. Mm-hmm. Like if it wasn't mango or, you know, apricot season, I would put them away and save them so that I would have like these awesome fruits during the winter time. So it was really just a process from the start. It just kind of, the whole business just grew from nothing, but it just was a natural progression of like getting bigger and spreading out to friends and family and then their friends and family. And I was actually working in the mortgage business at the time, and I would bring it into work and sell it to my coworkers. And they would be like, okay, I want 5 bags of these and that sort of thing. So I would like take them to like offices in the same like complex and sell them to like workers that worked in the next building over. So it was literally just from nothing. It just started growing. And I'm like, well, you know, I should make these bags look a little bit more professional. And so I started getting different bags, and then I wanted a label on it, and started getting like a professional label. And yeah, the response was just good. And so I just kept going and going with it.
I love that you started so humbly, just this dehydrator your mom bought you. But yeah. What I also love, and I didn't even think to ask you about this because I love your packaging, but that you didn't even start with fancy packaging. And so often I feel like, and I know I felt this way, when you're starting a business, you're like, well, I can't start until everything's just right. I have to find the perfect label and the perfect logo and the perfect this, and I have to have this website and have this business card. And then you get stuck because you don't have all those things. And you did the opposite. You just were like, let's start, and as I progress, I will make it more professional. And this is the same way with my business. And I think that's the secret, is you just have to start at, you know, the beta version.
You do. And like, as much as I preach that same idea, sometimes I do get stuck because you do feel overwhelmed sometimes, like you want to grow the business or you mm-hmm. want to take it to the next level. But I almost get stagnant because I worry about it too much, because I think that same thing, like, oh, I have to do this and I have to go 100% at it, when really it's just about, and it's so funny, I'm like practicing what you preach all the time. It's about progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm, and it's that mm-hmm. same thing that I have to take into my business life that I yes. do with like my personal life. And I'm like, okay, slow down, calm down. Like, it's just progress. Like, take it one step at a time. You don't have to go 100%, you know, full force at it. Just take it bits and pieces, progress, 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 you know?
I mean, it's so easy for someone to come and look at your beautiful package and be like, wow, like she just has it so much together. But as you said, like secretly it was, there were some bumps and bruises and maybe some miscoloring and missteps, but no one ever sees that. They're just seeing this beautiful place that you're at now. They're not seeing the long, twisty road you traveled on to get there. And like you said, that's true of life and business.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. It's very humbling at the same time, but it's empowering to realize that process is all part of the process.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that you're so honest about it. So I have to ask, it's kind of embarrassing for me, but I noticed when I first tried your product that it said that it didn't have sulfur dioxide. And I was like, well, that's weird. Why is she saying this? Why is she making this distinction? And I looked at some other dried fruit I had at home and saw that it had it. And I was like, well, this has it and hers doesn't. So there must be a reason why she doesn't include it. And then I asked you and you told me, and I was like, so let's let everyone else have that experience. Maybe you could tell us it, and this is a problem with a lot of dehydrated and dried fruits.
Right. So sulfur is a preservative that a lot of the bigger companies put on their fruit to make it last forever on the shelf and to make it look pretty. So some of the times when you see the sulfur dioxide products, they're so pretty and shiny and they look just perfect and they're not oxidized or like turned brown at all. And their shelf life is probably, I don't even know, 100 years or something crazy,
right.
You know? So, they put it on there just to kind of preserve it and to make it look great. But a lot of people are allergic to sulfur dioxide. So they get, they can even have like a reaction, a physical reaction to the sulfur, to the preservatives. So I make that distinction so people know that my products don't have that preservative in it. They don't last forever. Once you open a bag, I would recommend consuming it within like, you know, a month or two, or put it in the refrigerator or freezer until you get back to it. But a lot of those other fruit products, they will last way too long on the shelves or in your cabinet or whatever. And so mine do have an expiration date. It's not a short one. It's quite a long time because they're air dried. So all of the moisture is taken out of the fruit, of the product. So it does have a long shelf life, but not as long as some of the big companies that use a preservative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's really interesting because I've had a lot of feedback that people have had reactions to it. They've had like anaphylactic shock.
Wow. I mean, that's serious stuff.
Yeah. Very serious. So be aware. And it's just like anything, kind of read the package labels, because a lot of them, you would really be surprised what stuff people add to dried fruit. I've seen food coloring. I've seen like food glaze, which I don't really even know what's in those products to make them look shiny and, you know, glossy. I've seen oils and of course sugar.
Which makes me crazy because dehydrated fruit is already so incredibly sweet. You don't need to add sugar or juice to it.
Right. And it almost masks the natural like fruit flavor of it, because then all you're tasting is like sweetness. But some of the apples are like sweet and tart, and it hides that tartness to it. So it's just mind boggling what they will add to fruit. I've seen dried strawberries where they add like red food dye number 40 or whatever it's called. And I'm like, why do you need to do that? That's so bad.
We really need to get used to it. There's this great movement, especially on Twitter, where I think it's called like ugly fruit and veg, and it's all about how like there's all this food that's thrown away because it's not pretty, it's not like picture perfect.
Yes.
And they're trying to be like, let's stop wasting food, like embrace your ugly butternut squash or your ugly whatever. Yep. And I love that, and that's exactly what you're saying. It's like, why does everything have to look like this picture perfect? That's not how it is in nature.
Right, exactly.
We need to stop expecting everything to look like a painting.
Right. Yep.
So one thing that I found really interesting when you were telling me like, oh, well, some people have allergic reactions, is I since learned that especially people who have asthma or any kind of airway or breathing kind of struggles in the past, they're especially, you know, at risk for having an allergy to sulfur dioxide. And, you know, they have wheezing or even tight chestness, coughing, all of that. And my sister, while she doesn't have asthma, she has had restricted airway access, which happens to be caused by a food allergy. But since removing sulfur dioxide, like being very diligent, making sure her raisins and et cetera doesn't have it, she's felt like it's helped with the breathing.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so, and I don't buy anything with it anymore either. And I found that oftentimes when something has sulfur dioxide, it also has these other junky things that you're talking about. But I definitely encourage anyone who's listening, if they have asthma or someone in their family has asthma, to really start paying attention to the sulfur dioxide.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not only in dried fruit, it's in other products and things too. So just kind of be aware, anything that's like dried or raw sometimes, well, not so much raw, but, you know, companies that are making raw fruit, like dried at lower temperatures and like 118 is technically raw, they shouldn't really have it. But it's crazy. Some of the products that you wouldn't think have those kinds of preservatives and sulfurs in them would. So it's like anything, double check the labels and ask if it's not listed.
Yeah, that's a good tip. And I know it's in a lot of medications too, which a lot of us aren't on any anymore, thankfully, but I know it definitely still exists. And it can, I mean, even like skin rash, stomach aches, diarrhea, tingling, difficulty swallowing. I mean, it's a pretty serious thing. And like you said, it's in a lot of stuff. So it's definitely worth look. I know beer and wine sometimes. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Those little hidden things that are the scariest sometimes.
It is. Yeah, they seem so benign, but they're, and they're, oh, just the tiny littlest bit in it, but it doesn't matter when you're super sensitive.
Right.
So, my reliance on your amazing candies is I was in Mexico and I think I saw you right before I was going and you had mm-hmm. given myself and my sister a gift, a box of stuff. And we took it with us because we're like, this will be great.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to go on this like jungle safari zip lining thing. And it's like an all day event. And they're like, okay, right. no problem. We'll have food for you. And I went through my whole thing. You know, we don't eat this. We don't eat through my whole list. And then right. we got there. And really, the only food for us was tequila. I mean, really, the only food that we could have eaten was tequila. Maybe some guacamole, but I wasn't sure. It looked kind of creamy. And I was like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're supposed to be hiking all day. We're hiking up this mountain. We're supposed to zip line. We're supposed to do all of this like outdoorsy stuff. And they said they'd have food. I thought for sure there'd be fruits and vegetables at least. Oh my God, what are we going to do? And that's when my sister was like, oh my God, we have like 3 bags of those bananas.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh, that's perfect because it's lightweight. It doesn't need to be refrigerated.
Right.
We can carry it in our backpack because that was the other thing. We were like zip lining and hiking. So it wasn't like I had a purse with me. I had like the tiniest little fanny pack. But I was like, but this is perfect because it's lightweight. It's really nutritious. It's going to make us feel good and it's fruit. So it's going to give us energy to keep powering us through all these physical activities. I'm telling you, people were asking us for some and we were like, you can have one. We're like, you eat the ham sandwich. This is for us. But no, it did save us. And it was awesome. And it was so amazing. I remember I was standing at the top of this like mountain getting ready to do a zip line. And we have a picture of me like shoving the lime banana in my mouth.
And nice.
It's so good.
I love it. Yeah, they're the perfect snack to take traveling mm-hmm. or in your gym bag or it just, you know, kept in your car because they can stay and, you know, if they get a little banged up or smushed up, it's not fresh fruit.
It's not going to bruise and leak on something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That story makes me happy. That's what keeps me motivated to do that. I love all the stories and the feedback I get from people.
Yeah, it was. I was like, oh gosh, this really, really, really came in handy. And I never would have thought to carry something like that traveling or on a hike like that. And now I do all the time because it was such a good experience. And my sister too said, like, I really was dubious about just eating some like dehydrated fruit during the day, but it really, you know, I felt really good.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. It'll keep you motivated. That's for sure. And any physical activity, it's kind of like a great on the go snack because it's just so portable, you know?
Mm-hmm. And one thing I love too about your company, and as we said a little bit earlier, is when you changed your diet, it really became a lifestyle change in more ways than one, not to just you felt you were, you know, more in line with your natural nature, as you said, but this became a career. You were in mortgage before, and now you literally have a job that speaks directly to your diet and what you believe in terms of nutrition.
Right. Yeah. So I was in the mortgage business and I was doing a little bit of escrow and I was a notary. And while that's a great business and it's wonderful for some people, it just wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel at home and I felt it was an unhealthy kind of career choice for me. It was very stressful and I didn't connect with a lot of people for numerous reasons. It just wasn't my idea of like a joyful kind of career path. I didn't feel good about doing it because there's a lot of ups and downs and it wasn't for me. So I was like struggling. And that's the whole time that I was selling the Nature's Candies to the coworkers. And I started selling the Nature's Candies at farmer's markets around San Diego where I live. Yeah. And so I would set up a little booth and sell it a couple days a week. And that kind of started growing. And I was getting busier just providing the whole product line for those farmers markets. And so I started doing that and I started teaching group exercise classes, which I still teach this day, which is really fun. Yeah. But I started teaching group exercise classes because I found myself getting unhealthy working in that mortgage business, and doing escrow and just being too stressed out. And I just found my weight creeping up, which I always have to keep it under control and something I work on constantly. So I would always go to the gym and take these classes and sort of, you know, work out on my own. But I would feel I would be able to do a better class if I was teaching it. And I said to myself, well, I better shut up or put up. Like, if you think you can do better, you better do it. Or
I love it.
Shut up. So, yeah. So I got certified to teach group exercise classes, and I was doing that. And I just felt like those two things were aligning more with who I was as a person than the other business that I was in. So it was at a time where everything was kind of going on in the mortgage industry anyway. And I was, one business was buying the other business, and I was let go here and then hired at this other company. And then we were all let go. It was just too much. And so I said, you know what, I was let go for the last time. And I said, I'm going to do this fruit business, this Nature's Candies, full time and see where it goes. And it just kind of lined up. Everything fell into place. The two things that I was doing with my gym work and the group exercise classes were more in congruency together with the fruit business. And it just kind of blew up from there. Like I said, it didn't happen too quickly. It's still a whole process as I speak right now, but it's just something that flew together perfectly at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing personal training one-on-one with people at the gym. And I still continue to do that. So it's what I really love to do. Both of the things are my passions, and they work perfectly together.
I know. I was really thinking lucky. That the whole time. I was like, gosh, she could totally bring these snacks to her group people just to try. And then, wow, now she has a new customer.
It's true. Yeah. I deliver a lot of fruit to the people at the gym. That's for sure.
Yeah. But I love it. And I love how you were saying, you know, these two things fit more in line with, you know, my personality and my values. And, but most importantly is they go together. And I think the reason they go together is because both of them promote, you know, health, being your best self, feeling good. Yes. And I get a sense just, you know, from having known you for all this time and, you know, talking with you and even now on the podcast that you're a good, nice person, and you just want to help other people. You want to empower them to be their best self or make it easy on them to achieve their goals. And that's exactly what both of these businesses do.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so amazing to see you just like living your truth.
It's so awesome. And I'm happy you brought that up because I do. I feel like I want to help people at the gym because if you know me, I don't have a perfect body. You know, some people do. That's just not my thing, unfortunately. But I love working out and I make working out fun. And so I just want people to know, like, you can move your body. It can be any size. It can be any type. Just get moving, get healthy, whatever that means to you. I like taking classes. Other people like doing machines, you know, find your thing, make yourself happy and do that. And that's kind of what my business is. It's like, it's dried fruit. It doesn't have to be serious. It's fun. It's like coconut bananas, you know, and these weird lime banana flavors and things that you might have not tried before. Let's try it out. See how it goes. It's fruit. You can't go wrong, you know? So it's kind of like very lighthearted. Just don't take yourself too seriously, but just have fun and move your body and eat right.
Yeah. And I love it that you said, you know, try it and don't take it too seriously. Cause I feel that that's true for everything. Again, you know, business and life, like just try it out. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Like we often get like so bent up and worked up. And I remember when I was first plant-based, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do at this wedding or this thing or this thing? And it was like, really, I just need to try it. I need to not worry about something that's not happening today. Just like take it a step at a time, some progress in there, but just don't be so serious. Like you said, and failure, I love your attitude about that. Is failure, it happens, whatever. You learn from it and you grow. It's like, don't be so serious.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And it's so funny too, because I found that with the meal plans, you know, I'm fairly new to the meal plans, although I've been following for you years and, you know, stalking you on the websites and
just,
stuff,
but just keeping touch on your bestie.
Yeah, exactly. Fairly new to the meal plans though. And I think my hesitation was I didn't want too much like rigidity or whatever you want to call it in my life. And I'm totally blown away by the flexibility of the meal plans. It's like, I can't shut up to people about it because I find so much flexibility and freedom in them, which is the complete opposite of what I thought they would be. And so I'm just really digging the meal plans lately. And I have to tell you, first of all, that I can't get enough of the sunshine bowl. I think I've had it like every day since I signed up last year, which is really crazy. I've eaten more sweet potatoes in my life than like my past life combined.
I do love the sunshine bowl. I have to say it is a personal favorite for me too.
Literally, I can't get enough of that. I think I could eat that every day.
And that's in the detox ebook that's available to all members on their dashboard if you're wondering where to get this delicious sunshine bowl. So it's available to all members. It's not like the recent meal plan or something.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, so there's just a lot of flexibility in what you preach. And I feel like I resonate with that completely.
I love the progress, not perfection. This year, I've been saying ability trumps motivation, which again applies to both personal and business. But progress, not perfection will always be like, I think, my inner mantra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
So one thing I wanted to ask, going back to the failures, is has there ever been something that you tried that didn't work out?
Yeah. I mean, way too many. How long do you have?
I love your honesty. Maybe you could just like tell us a quick story. Sure. I just want people to realize that failure is something that you can laugh about as we are right now and not to, you know, it's part of the not taking yourself so seriously. It happens, but it ends up being helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had, I don't even know where to start on the failure. I feel like any kind of failure that you have is a step in the right direction, which it sounds weird, but at least you're taking a step, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. Like, at least there's some sort of movement in any direction. Even if you have to backtrack, it's still kind of movement. It means you're not stagnant. So I kind of take that into consideration when things don't go the way I want them to. But yeah, I mean, there can be little failures, even like trying a new fruit or trying something out in the marketplace and people are like, ew, that's so gross. I'm like, okay.
Whoops,
okay, well, we want it anymore. Yeah. So little failures like that. And I've also had, a website that had failed and it didn't do well. So I had to start from scratch. And that was a big thing. I've tried out stores. I've gotten into a few local stores that I thought was going to be great. And it was awesome, but it just didn't work because there was no sales there. And that was kind of depressing at the time, but I used it as kind of looking at like it was marketing. You know, people at least saw it. It was on the shelves. They might not have bought it, but it may be in their memory bank for later if they see it at a different store down the line years later, you know. And there's the whole thing about, you know, I want to be bigger than I am currently, which I don't really consider that a failure, but I used to, because I thought, well, I'm a total failure because I'm not in Costco yet or I'm not worldwide yet. So it's going back to
really
the whole thing.
I really appreciate you saying this on such a deep level. I can't even convey it, but I like want to cry hearing you say that because it's how I always feel. And it's like, well, I'm not Rachel Ray.
Right. Exactly.
But it's like, she had to start somewhere too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's crazy to kind of come to that realization because I thought, well, if I verbalize it, it's true. And then I am a failure and I'm going nowhere and I should just give up. But I have to keep reminding myself that I love to do it, number one, which is huge. But number two, I feel like I'm putting a really good product out there and I'm proud of it. And even if it's not where it needs to be in my own mind, at least I'm moving in some direction and I'm, you know, doing what I love and behind it wholeheartedly, and I'll get there someday if that's where I want to go. And maybe in my mind, I want to go somewhere in one direction, but my business and my life might take me into another kind of side business or a different direction, you know? And so it's kind of hard because you think you want to go in a certain way, but then something happens, life slaps you in the face or, you know, knocks you down for a second, and then you have to reroute yourself and go a different direction.
That's really true. And it's funny that you brought this up because I was just talking about that with my husband today is when I started Happy Herbivore and also Meal Mentor. I did it because like you, I wasn't happy being a lawyer. I know you were in mortgage, but I was a lawyer and we both were like, this doesn't fit for me. It's too stressful. I'm not helping people. I don't feel like, you know, it didn't fit. And so I started because I realized if I was going to be able to do what felt my truth is I was going to have to go into business for myself and I was going to have to work for myself. I wasn't going to be able to work in an office. It just wasn't conducive to my personality, my energy, just kind of the way I worked. You know, I'm the kind of person who like some days I'm really fired up and I'll do a bunch of stuff. And other days I'm like, oh, it's a rest day. Cool. But that doesn't work when you're expected to like punch a clock or be And so I knew that. And so I started it with this whole purpose of like being, oh, I want to be able to live anywhere and go anywhere and have that freedom. So, you know, just on the internet, as long as I have Wi-Fi. And I did live that way for a long time, but that's not for me anymore. That's not, you know, it's not for me anymore. Fortunately, I was able to adapt myself and my business to these new things, but I love that you're open. You're like, well, I might think I'm headed towards this exit, but I may end up somewhere else.
Right. And it's true because I feel like that's a process of evolution for yourself and the business. It's like who you were 20 years ago is definitely not who you are today. Hopefully you're grown in some capacity in some way or multiple ways, hopefully, but it's just part of life, I think. And sometimes you just kind of roll with the punches as long as you know you're doing good things and doing what's right for you and your heart. It's kind of freeing when you just kind of accept the fact that if you are moving, at least you're moving in some right direction, you know?
Yes, I love that you said that you're not being stagnant, and that's a victory in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I also loved, you had said that you tried to put your product in stores and it didn't sell. And a lot of people, I think, would be really, you know, depressed or see that as a failure. But you were like, well, it's actually was really great marketing because a whole bunch of people saw my product. And I feel that way too. I was really excited when my books were getting into certain stores or even getting like on end tables or on display tables. And then the sales wouldn't have increased at all. And I would feel like it was a big fat loss or something. And I would be really sad because I didn't have your positive perspective then. But then I realized subsequently later on, there are so many people who have since become fans of Happy Herbivore or are Meal Mentor members or did end up buying a cookbook. They saw it that day, they didn't buy it, but then they remembered it. So it made it like primed the pump for later. Like maybe someone saw your candy, but was like, oh, I'm just not in the mood for bananas, or I'm really rushed. I need somewhere to go and I can't take these with me. But then it's in their mind for a future time.
Exactly.
So there really was no failure. It was actually still a benefit.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to think about it.
And I love that you saw that. I was like, oh, she's so much wiser than me.
I don't think so. It's just taking me a lot longer.
But I do think, and it is slow. And I say this all the time with our members who are losing weight. It really is slow and steady. And that's the best way to grow your business too. It's not just at any kind of success. It really does need to be like slow and nurtured for two reasons. One, you know, it's sustainable and it's real and it's not just going to go away as fast as it came. You know, these overnight things, you know, come in and go so fast. You don't want that. You want staying lasting power. But it also gives you a chance, like you said, to constantly keep tweaking and evaluating to make sure you're going in a direction that's right for you and your business.
Absolutely. And it's kind of the whole theme of my business, like slow and steady and handmade and handcrafted, like being such a small business right now, it lets me make every single package. So everything that's sliced and diced and packaged and labeled is all done by me. And I really love that fact because I'm making it, I feel like it's going directly to that person and a part of me is put into that. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds kind of creepy, but you know
I actually think that I'm like, these were like lovingly touched. Like these were in her loving hands. She put love into this.
Right. Absolutely. Yes, it's true. I hope people can taste that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can. Well, it's like they say, why does mom's, even though I make my mom's recipe, like why does her always taste better from her? And it's like, oh, it's because, you know, mom's secret ingredient is love. And it's kind of corny, but it's true.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with when you cook a meal yourself. It tastes much better than you can get it at a restaurant or a frozen package thing. Like, homemade is so much better. It's that same idea, you know? I'm just batch cooking for the business instead of batch cooking for my family, you know?
That's true. You are. You are, like, the ultimate batch cooker.
That's right.
So what advice would you have given yourself when you were first starting?
Oh, man. Don't be so hard on yourself and just take all, like, enjoy the whole journey of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a slow and steady journey, like we've been talking about, and just try not to beat yourself up with every little thing that doesn't go exactly as planned, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And take those challenges or those bumps or what feels like a failure and see what can come out of them that's good. And it's funny, like, my failures have often been what led me to my greatest achievement.
Right. Yeah.
Because it made me like reevaluate my perspective. Like, oh, okay, I really need, like you said, like, oh, these flavors weren't popular. Well, you know that now, but it also helps guide you to future ideas. Because you'll be like, oh, well, that's really similar to this, or that was really, this is really tart. Maybe that's why I shouldn't do it, because the tart stuff didn't work before. I mean, it really becomes like this massive insight.
Yeah. Exactly. It's hard at the time to know that and to realize that, but looking back, it's always a learning, you know, a learning curve or a learning opportunity.
You always have to wonder, like, if there isn't, I remember I was really upset the first time I got some negative reviews for my cookbooks online. I was really heartbroken about it. And my friend's like, that just legitimized you. And I was like, what? And he's like, well, think about it. If you go and you buy a product and there's only 500 five-star reviews, aren't you skeptical? I'm like, yeah, I'm like hugely skeptical. I'm like, was this real? Is this true? He's like, but if there was like just three negative ones, wouldn't you feel more confident? I'm like, oh yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying there. It makes it legitimate.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely true.
I also loved that you said that, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the podcast too, but that you, in your head, you want it to be bigger or more, and it's not successful enough or whatever, which is so funny. And I was saying earlier, you never really know kind of what's going on behind the scenes or in a person's head. Whereas for me, from as an outsider, I was like, wow, this chick is killing it. Like, her product is awesome. Her packaging is amazing. She's just so busy. This is such a huge, massive success. But then here you are saying, well, in my mind, it's like, it's so,
right.
And I think that's true of every business owner. Everyone else looks at them like, wow, they're awesome. They're like at the pinnacle. And they're like, I really need to change these five things. I need to change these 10
right.
things.
Right. I want to be this, that, and the other thing. And that's not happening right now. Yeah, exactly.
And it's good that we all have that hunger, but it is funny. It's like, you just never know the full story. Like, here I am like, she's the best. She can't possibly want to do more. And you're like, yeah, I got to do more.
Right. Yeah, it is. It's true. It's very deceiving to look at someone else's thing and career and life from the outside. You just never know. But there's such a freedom in admitting it and coming to grips with it. It really is nice and refreshing to speak that truth to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if someone wanted to get into the food business, maybe not exactly like yours, but is there any advice, warnings, insight you might want to share with them?
I would say get a mentor. There's a lot of resources online that will help you develop like a business plan and to help you kind of get in touch with the right people. But make sure it's your passion, because working with food can be really technical and there's a lot of regulations and issues and that sort of thing. So make sure it's your passion, but if you have that fire and drive, go for it, because it's so rewarding and powerful to be in control of your own career and lifestyle, which is nice, you know. But it's also a struggle, but as long as it's your passion, you'll have the energy and the drive to succeed. But definitely get a mentor and, you know, do your research and get all your ducks in a row before you dive into it, because food can be a little bit tricky.
Yeah, a friend of ours that's in the food business is always telling me about all these rules. Oh, and it can only be on this shelf, it has to transport this. And I'm like, oh my God, this is why I don't do food. Even though I love food, it's just like you said. And that's a good thing to know too, is if you love it, you'll do it, like you said. And that's how I feel about my work, is I love it so much, I actually have to tell myself to stop working. But there are definitely aspects that I don't enjoy, like taxes. But that is a good point too, is there are a lot of things that I'm passionate about. Like, I'm super passionate about speaking French. I will never have a business involving that passion, because it's not that, it's not deep enough.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
So I love that you have that insight. Just make sure you really love it, because then you'll just, you know, these unpleasant sides, you'll be like, okay, it's just part of it, but I'm doing what I love every day. And what about personal training? I mean, I was a personal trainer for a while, but I was through a gym, so it was pretty corporate. Do you have any advice for people who are thinking about considering becoming like a coach in any way or a personal trainer?
Yeah, definitely. Get involved at your local gym or wherever you work out, and just kind of see if they have an intern position, and you can kind of shadow the personal trainers that are already there, or see if they have any, you know, programs that you can do at their gym before you get certified, because getting certified can be time consuming and expensive. So like anything, just make sure it's something that you really want to do and get into. It's I mean, a lot of people make a ton of money from it. I don't. I just do it to kind of keep in shape and to you know, get that outlet out for myself, and I get to yell at people and make them do stuff, which is always nice.
I love that you're so honest.
I'm like zen in the kitchen, but then like, yeah, exactly. Zen in the kitchen, and then at the gym, I get to yell and scream and do crazy stuff. So it's a good balance. But yeah, just again, find a mentor. See if you can learn everything that you can learn from someone else, and find someone that's doing what you want to do.
That's a good, that's really good advice. I wish someone would have told me that about before I went to law school, like, go shadow some lawyers for a few weeks. And I would have been like, this is boring. This is not for me. But instead I went through like 3 years of torture, then became a lawyer and was like, oh God, why did I do this?
Oh yeah. Well, we're all really happy that you didn't become a lawyer or stay a lawyer.
Stay a lawyer. Yeah. I know, I joke all the time. I'm like, I'm still a lawyer. One of these days I'm going to like sue the FDA or something. I'm like, I have to do something with it eventually. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
That's what I keep threatening. My like for 5 years now, I've had this lingering thing where I'm like, you know, there's all these doctors that tell people who are like diabetic to go low carb when they really need to be plant-based and low carb's worse for them.
Yeah.
And they, sometimes they find out when it's too late, 'cause they're, you know, having complications. I'm like, I need to do a lawsuit. You know, maybe that will change things, you know, I'm like, that's what I need to do, a class action. But, you know, that would require
that would
quite
awesome.
A bit. But yeah, it's like this thing that's been in my head. I'm like, I need to do it. And I'm going to get all the plant-based doctors to be my experts.
That would be so great.
I was like, this needs to be, and maybe we'll film the whole thing. It'll be a documentary. These are my big dreams.
There you go.
How
I'm
going to finally use my law degree in conjunction with Happy Herbivore and Meal Mentor, because unlike you, those two things don't blend so nicely.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, oh, it has been so fun chatting with you. And I appreciate how incredibly honest you are.
Thank you again.
Good. And I hope everyone listening has been feeling really inspired to go out and chase their dreams, because I know, and it's so often when people become plant-based, they're like, this changed everything for me. I want to help other people experience this joy. And so I hope that you've given them some inspiration and motivation and ideas to go out and do it. But hey, if you and I can do it, so can they.
Absolutely.
If we can run from the law and run from mortgages, which, oh, by the way, I just saw The Big Short, so you got out. Way to go.
Oh, right.
I don't know if you've seen that movie, but the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I'm so glad my friends that were in that industry left.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure.
I think, you know, you'll give you PTSD. You'll be like, oh, shakes. No, that's how I feel when I watch lawyer movies. But anyway, so if anyone wants to learn more or buy some of your tasty treats, where can they go?
They can go to my website. It's naturescandies.com. I'll spell it. It's naturescandyz.com.
Yeah, it's basically nature and candy, both with a Z on the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is cool and fun, and I love it. Well, like I said, thank you again so much for coming on and talking about business and your journey with business and life, which we keep. I think that was the theme, is how similar they both were, progress, not perfection.
Yes.
And if you want to learn more about Meal Mentor and the meal plans that we talked just a little bit about today, you can visit getmealplans.com. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving a review. I know I appreciate it, and all my co-pilots like Patricia appreciate it too. And with that, have a great day. And thanks again, Patricia, and everyone, go buy some candy and treat yourself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lindsay.
You're welcome. Much love. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.